We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
But for those people who are, you know, champing, by the way, which is...
No, what? Chomping.
It's chomping.
It's champing.
It's chomping.
Sports Talk Saturday.
The other day when I said chomping on the bit of Twitter, I got 20 people. It's champing.
It's the internet. You know you can't trust
it's
that.
It's champing.
On WGR.
Champing.
Sports Radio 550.
It is champing.
It... In all
grammatically,
it is
it's champing. Champing. It is, you champ and
forget him being right. It's the sound bit that matters here.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just listening to the thing and I'm just reacting.
It's champing.
You told me that this has been a Claw and Kolsch time of year for you. That you don't do liquor in the summer.
Well, I mean, that's not 100% true, because I still do dabble. It's just...
Your liquor intake is far greater in the wintertime than it is...
Wintertime tends to be more of a liquor and IPA type time. I still consume both in the summer, but when I'm going out, I'm going to be out in the sun. Maybe I'm hitting the beach, going on a boat somewhere, hitting the links. You know, I'm going to try to drink something that's a little bit more refreshing typically.
Sure.
So I know that you've been a big proponent for the Genesee Ruby Red Kolsch, which was introduced to the masses last summer and was met
consumed
with,
at an unbelievable rate.
Yes, was met with fanfare. They had to create more of it. And then I think this summer they were more prepared for the demand. And then they also created a strawberry lemonade cream ale.
I have not had yet, but I've heard great things.
It's good.
I'll have to check it. Definitely have to check that out.
But I've also been, you know, big on the White Claws and the Trulies, mainly those two specific brands. I don't like to travel too far outside of the norm.
There are plenty of them, though.
They blew up.
I would have loved to be
on the front end of that.
On the front end of the seltzer craze.
Well, I started doing that, not the seltzer craze, but I started just drinking when I would go out to the bars. I was like, you know what? I'm going to start drinking.
They're 100 calories.
Vodka sodas.
Yeah.
Because I can hydrate and dehydrate at the same time.
Would you go with a flavored vodka or just plain vodka in a soda? Then you're basically just drinking nothing.
I would go with the plain. You know, you toss a little lemon, a little lime in there, give it a little spritz, mix it all together. It's a refreshing light beverage that you can consume very quickly and can also lead to many bad decisions. So that's why I like it. Anything that leads to bad decisions tends to be something
I would
that
say
I am drawn towards.
I would say closer to poor decisions than bad, you know?
Misguided. Misguided decisions.
Yeah.
I think that's what I was going for. So did you know, I'm not sure if you've been keeping up on the local concert scene or the concert scene in general. I know that you have, because you've been actually curled up in a bar, in a ball during every break, because you're not at SPAC for the Dave Matthews Band.
That's right.
Thing that happens.
It's 2 days.
The 2 days DMB shows. But the Lil Wayne and Blake 182 are going on tour together. They're in the middle of the tour. They're coming to Darien Lake on Wednesday. And Lil Wayne actually walked off stage from one of their shows. And he is denying that he's quitting the tour. But at the time of it happening, it sounded like he was going to quit the tour. Mainly saying, like, something along the lines of, you know, this crowd isn't really my swag. There aren't many... you know, out there. So you got to fill in the blank of what he was going to say.
So he did choose, though, to
go on this tour with Blink
182. Right.
He did choose to do that.
And Blink 182, I believe, is considered the lead.
It's Blink 182's
tour with Lil Wayne.
With Lil Wayne opening for them. And then there's another band that's opening before Lil Wayne. So the main draw of the tour is going to be Blink-182. Every show they're playing Enema of the State, which is the 20th year anniversary of that album.
It's a great album.
They're playing that album in its entirety at every single show that they're doing over the summer. So it's going to be a lot of nostalgia for people my age, maybe a little bit older, a little bit younger.
Sorry to cut you off here. Is it a little weird, though, that Tom isn't there?
Yeah, my idea for...
It's definitely weird.
...for what they should have done is...
Scrap the whole thing?
No, not scrap the whole thing. There's one song...
I mean, I would have been okay
with that. There's one song on Enema of the State, which is called Aliens Exist. Tom leaves the band because he's on this big alien craze. He goes on the Joe Rogan podcast, starts talking about aliens. He's out there. He's out there with the aliens, and you can even go to interviews that Blink-182 has done in the past, specifically Travis Barker, who said, you know, it was a lot of fun back in the day because we would just hang out on the tour bus, get stoned, listen to Tom talk about aliens, and then we didn't really realize that
he was 100%
super,
serious.
Super 100% serious about this. So there is the song Aliens Exist. I think they should have figured out a way, whether it be via hologram or if they actually flew Tom in for every show, where the UFO comes in over stage and Tom descends from the UFO, sings Aliens Exist, and then gets abducted back into the UFO, flies away. The other guy can do the rest of the show.
While that might have cost a lot, I am extremely for that.
It's a great idea.
It's just, listen, and you get
Tom back involved with the band. He does allegedly want to get back involved with the band, I think mainly because he has no money left anymore.
Because he spent it all...
Hunting aliens.
Yeah, and listen,
is he with those 300,000 people trying to storm Area 51?
Yes, probably. He's probably going to be amongst the front lines storming Area 51. Would you storm Area 51? Do you believe in aliens?
I do, absolutely, 100%.
I got to be honest. I think if you don't believe in aliens, you're dumb.
Yeah.
The statistical probabilities of aliens not existing
very high.
It's
very low, I should say, but it's very high that they do exist, the statistical probability.
We're on this piece of dust planet in the middle of nowhere, and we exist. You're telling me there's not some other life form in a piece of dust planet in some other galaxy out there?
Did you see recently that there's a study currently being done to determine whether or not there is a mirror reality in our own, like, what is it called? Not a reality, but it's a...
Dimension?
Yes, a mirror dimension that is currently... And basically what they're doing is blasting space dust into the air and seeing if, like, certain particles... So there was an experiment done where they blasted dust and some of the particles disappeared. And they had no answer for why the particles disappeared, except for the fact that there could be a mirror dimension that if you speed something up quick enough.
Am I living a better life in this alternate dimension? Like, when they say mirror dimension, is like everything exactly the same?
Everything exactly the same, except I think time. I think time would be.
You ever watch Donnie Darko?
I have not.
You should check that out. This, it's about dimensions and string theory and things like that.
What I would say...
This is Coast to Coast Radio on WGR Sports Radio 550. AM Coast to Coast.
Had I known, I would have... I definitely have some alien guests we could have scheduled for today.
Could you?
Yeah, easily. But really what I wanted to shift back to your original point about Blink-182 we are actually entering a really weird time. People our age, right? People in the late 20s beginning to get into their 30s. By the way, that's just creepy to say. 30 is old.
Hurts, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. 30 is old. Anyways, getting into it's going to be weird seeing the punk rock bands of our teen years approach the 40s and 50s and still attempt to be like that punk rock.
That's gonna already be weird. Happening. Yeah. I mean, you go back to the punk rock bands that are from the 70s and the 80s. I mean, Rancid tour with the Damned, who are like huge.
2000s punk though is just a little different than
it's
like
pop.
80s.
It's pop.
The Sum 41s of the world, right? Like those guys doesn't translate to mid 40s.
The other thing about it is just, some of them, they live long enough to become the villain at this point. It pretty much where Blink-182 for me doesn't feel the same anymore.
No,
especially
certainly
without
not.
Tom DeLonge.
Certainly not.
And then you see other bands, though, like, for example, Yellow Card, hanging them up. The last Warped Tour coming around last year. And now they just do music festivals for Warped Tour, which it's not the same.
It's not.
See, my question is, when do these bands and when do bands from the 90s and things like that start transitioning to the genre classic rock? Because you've got bands in the 80s, right? 97 Rock plays
classic rock.
And they're creeping into the 90s, like U2. This is like an 80s to 90s band, but it gets played on 97 Rock.
U2 can be considered classic rock. What is the line, though? Because...
is it the grunge? The grunge years when Nirvana... 90s rock. Is Nirvana the line?
I would say... So what you're saying is 90s grunge / 90s rock can now be considered classic rock because we're 2 decades out.
It's got to happen at some point where it transitions to being considered classic rock. I think about this a lot, and it's not usually with rock music, but a lot of the more modern pop music and the electronic music that's out now. Like, is there going to be radio stations 50 years in the future where it's like, of your classic EDM hits? Well, I honestly think about this because I'm going to be driving around in the car in the future. It probably won't be actual radio stations anymore because I'll just listen to Spotify or whatever it is.
Or you satellite could, radio. What you'd be able to do is, I think, insert a chip into your brain at that point and just be able to listen inside of like an earwig. Like have like a little something implanted
earwig.
In you. Yeah.
What's an earwig?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Look it up. What's it say in Wikipedia? I'll look it up.
But
if you
that's like. I've considered that a lot because I listen to a lot of that genre, like electronic music. I listen to a lot of that, and I've considered that a lot, where it's like classic electronic music
This is alarming. An earwig is actually an insect that has 12 families, and they live in your ear.
Great.
I think. Get rid of earwigs at earwigcontrol.com. That's what it said there.
But yeah, that is I've had these thoughts happen to me a lot. Where is that line for classic rock? Like when do we start hearing Sugar Ray being called classic rock?
I think we're here. I think that's
is that considered classic rock?
Yeah, I think so.
And but there's also other types of music. And if I think about talking to my parents. Particularly my mom, when she would talk about
Talking Heads,
97 Rock, and how back in the day, they would never play bands like Journey because they weren't rock music. They were like pop rock. But now they're always played on 97 Rock because they're one of the biggest bands of that generation. So I don't know. When do we start considering our rock classic rock? And were our parents offended when... 97 Rock started being called classic rock?
I don't have answers for you. I think they're good questions to ask aloud. You know, I'm still, just to be completely honest with you, I'm not really comfortable and or over the fact that you have not had food at the Taste of Buffalo and Derek just hasn't been there, period.
I mean, I walked around. I have been... scrolling Twitter and I'm seeing some, you know, like the Buffalo News food critic is out there and he's talking about the spare ribs from Dinosaur Barbecue and how he took one bite and both bones fell out of the spare ribs. And
that's a good sign.
They were phenomenal.
That's a good sign.
That is a very good sign. So I don't know. Maybe I've got a lot going on tomorrow.
Listen,
maybe I'll go check it
out. Just bring $25. Bring $25.
How much food items can I buy with $25?
You could probably get like 3 or 4 sample
high
food
quality
items.
Food items.
Sample food items. Okay. But the problem is there's so many good places that you really have to sort of be judicious. You have to go based on here's what you want to look for. Any previous winners of any particular food category, they're usually worth an opportunity to go check out. There's a lot of good dessert places. There is a lot of good in general. There's just a lot of good entrees, though. Like, you go anywhere, you can basically try the best entrees from every restaurant in town, which it's difficult because people – the big criticism of the Taste of Buffalo, right, is that you go, you spend a lot of money, and you leave hungry, which, first of all, I don't understand one bit because last year I left – almost in a state of sleep because I'd eaten so much food and I'd probably spent $50, $60. Like, that's what you're spending on a really nice meal somewhere. you know, maybe for two people, not one person. But mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to spend that, and you know, bring your own water bottle so that you don't have to buy drinks, and then you can use all of your money on food. That's what I say. So if you're going to do it, you got to try the Demon Burger. Demon Burger is a must. It won last year. It's unbelievable. It tastes amazing.
You get a full sized burger?
No, it's like a slider. Slider.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you could try that. I think it's probably like four tickets, five tickets.
Are tickets like Shroop Bucks?
They are exactly like Shroop Bucks or Stanley Nichols.
Okay.
How many Stanley Nichols does it take to get one Shroop Buck?
I don't know.
That's always been because the question was asked of Dwight, and it was never actually answered.
It's the conversion like the classic rate of Stanley rock. Nichols. It's like the classic rock conversation is.
Do you think that?
I'm on an article now from liveabout.com. Okay. And it says, test it for yourself. If you aren't sure whether a particular song or album should be considered classic rock, subject it to this test. When was it recorded? 15 to 20 years? Hasn't been around long enough to be considered classic. So, okay.
It says, what was the cutoff?
15 to 20 years. On the other hand, the mere fact that it was recorded 40 years ago doesn't automatically mean it's considered a classic. It's also got to be a huge hit. So apparently...
Oh, a classic rock, has to be a hit.
It has, like, so classics.
So then what would you call Talking Heads?
Apparently they're not classic rock because they didn't have any, like, super hits. They had good songs. I don't think they ever...
Talking Heads had a couple of really good songs.
They did have some good songs. But did they ever reach number one on the charts? I think that's kind of the way that you got to go about it. Number one on the charts is a classic, an instant classic, I think they would call it.
Just real quick before we go to break, we're going to hear from Ross Tucker. He met with Chopin Bulldog on Thursday. So we're going to hear from that when we come back on the other side. Colin Cowher doing his thing again where, you know, they showed a video of Patrick Mahomes throwing a football outside of the stadium from inside of it into a trash can. It was pretty remarkable. And some Kansas City news team was like, that's some serious arm strength. And then Colin Cowher quote tweeted as, meanwhile, Tom Brady was working on timing and precision routes. And Patrick Mahomes quote tweeted it with laughing emojis. The reason I'm bringing this is I think I'm at the point now where I really need to see a Patrick Mahomes versus Josh Allen arm competition.
I'm still all for it.
It's not even about being for it. I need to see it. I need to see it. Yes.
Do you think there's anyone else that they could throw in there?
Deserving
of it.
Maybe Flacco early in his career. Not now. He is very deliberate release, though. It's like... where it's dinosaur.
He makes that noise when he's throwing the football.
Yeah, I bet you you could probably find a recording, an NFL Films recording. I don't know. Derek, do you have another quarterback you think you could throw in that bunch?
Russell Wilson's probably my next best.
Really?
He's got pretty deep balls.
He does, but...
I think he's still in the next... Oh, my goodness. Grow up. Grow up, Geary. Grow up.
I am not the only one.
You're the one that's farther. You're the one that's farther away.
I'm sorry. I apologize, folks.
Oh, my God. It really was. I just looked at Ryan, and Ryan started laughing when he said it, and I stared deep into his eyes, and we both.
You were staring deep into his eyes while I'm talking juvenile about radio. Russell Wilson's deep ball.
Juvenile radio.
We need an adult on the station, and that's why we're going to hear from Ross Tucker here next on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. Nate Geary here, Ryan Gates also in the studio. We're going to go to Ross Tucker, who was on with Chopin the Bulldog on Thursday.
Mike Chopin the Bulldog, welcome back. Joined now by Ross Tucker, former Bill, now in the media, the host of the Ross Tucker podcast. Ross joining us via the West Her Hotline. Ross, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How about you guys?
Pretty good.
We are good, yeah.
We are a couple of weeks away from training camp. I mean, not Bulldog and I. We'll probably go out there once or twice. Denver is what? What does that mean? What was that noise? You think you're going to start working out? Denver is like less than a week away.
No, I'm definitely not going to start working out. It's on the other end of whether or not we're actually going to go out there at all. Sorry.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Ross, how optimistic might you be for the Bills?
I'd say I'm pretty optimistic. I think that they have a good chance to build on what they did last year. I thought they were a lot better last year than I thought they would be. I think it's between them and the Jets for second in the AFC East. And I wouldn't be surprised, especially with all the upgrades they made in free agency, the offensive line, some of the weapons for Josh Allen, I wouldn't be surprised if they're very firmly in the wild card mix, you know, in December.
What do you like most about what they did up front? Is it, I mean, Mitch Morse is a big ticket item, highest paid center in the league now. But they also filled in with some guys that didn't cost a lot that have maybe pretty decent or even better than that reputations. Like, how do you see it fitting together up front?
Yeah, I thought it's a good question. And I don't know. I think you can argue that they overpaid for Mitch Morse. I think he's a fine player with his injury history. I don't know that I would have given him the money that they did. I think what I actually like the most about what they did is just the volume that they put on it. You know, whether it's Morse or Long or Cody Ford via the draft, I'm a big fan of Ty Inseki.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a really good player. You bring in LaAdrian Waddle, Quentin Spain. I mean, the reality is they're going to be able to get five good guys out of that, and really they're going to be able to have eight guys that you can win with. And so if a guy or two gets hurt, they're going to have a veteran guy who's played, who, you know, won't lose the game for you, a Ross Tucker type, if you will, to be able to plug in there and hold down the fort.
Yeah, this is largely how I feel. I feel almost, Ross, like the Bills have to operate this way. You know, they traded for Antonio Brown, and that didn't work out. But the volume gives them options at wide receiver, too, even at running back. And I approve of that. And I think for them, that's almost the only way to go. I think that, you know, doing that is smart. They have the money. You've got to spend it. And so to do that here, you know, there are going to be injuries, of course. So I think this is – and they also are – it doesn't sound like – I don't know everything about this, but it doesn't sound like these contracts – overall are too penal, like they'd be too hard to get out of. So I think it's a good blueprint.
Well, it just feels like they went from a team with hardly any depth on the offensive side of the ball to now very real depth. I mean, at receiver, John Brown, Zay Jones, Cole Beasley, Robert Foster. Now you have four guys that, you know, have shown that they can play at a pretty high level in the NFL, whereas last year, at times it felt like it was just Jones or just Foster. Bringing in John Brown to be the speed threat, Beasley in the slot, I think should help out Josh Allen quite a bit. Even at tight end, Tyler Croft is an accomplished player. You have Lee Smith, who's more of the blocking guy, and then you take Dawson Knox and Tommy Sweeney in the draft, and then running back. You know, you had LeSean. You bring in Frank Gore, you bring in T.J. Yeldon, you bring in Devin Singletary. They really don't have a position where you say if this one guy gets hurt, you know, the season's over, probably with the exception of Josh Allen. And ultimately, they're doing whatever they can to try to take advantage of Allen being on his rookie deal and to try to give him the best chance to make a big step forward in year two.
Talking with Ross Tucker, is a radio.com NFL insider. He's here with us on WGR. On Beasley, I feel like I've asked almost every NFL guest we've had on this question. Like his accomplishment in the league is being one of the top slot receivers. And Josh Allen is a get-it-down-the-field guy. And we've seen some accuracy issues on the short stuff in particular from Allen. And I think that's a really interesting piece to watch because the Bills obviously prioritized getting a slot receiver for Allen. And I think they're probably expecting him to make progress, maybe even big progress, in throwing to a safety valve slot type guy like Beasley. Otherwise, why make the investment in him at all? And I think that'll be really interesting to watch unfold as this season gets going, Ross.
I would agree. I think the idea is you're trying to give him some easy completions
and you're trying to have an answer on third and medium, which I think they expect to be. They already have the speed guys with Robert Foster and John Brown. They have the stable of running backs. They wanted to get some more intermediate targets to keep the defense honest with Beasley and Croft, and I really think that they did that.
By the way, Brian Daboll, I'm just looking at his career and yours on the screen here. There is crossover when you were with New England. He was the wide receivers coach when you were with New England, which is relatively brief. Would offensive linemen get to know the other position group coaches very well? Like, how well would you happen to have known him?
You know, it's interesting that you say that because I didn't know him very well when I was there. But because we were there together, when he's gone other places, since I've been a broadcaster, I've talked with him quite a bit. I'm a big fan of his. I thought he did some really good things a year ago with Josh Allen. You know, he took advantage of Josh's legs more than I ever thought that they would. And I thought Josh even threw the ball better than expected based on what his statistics had been at Wyoming. But this will really be sort of the referendum on Daboll and his offense. I mean, they're just so much more talented now on that side of the ball. And it's the second year for Josh Allen that, you know, if they don't take a big step, then a lot of that's going to fall on Dable's shoulders. It's his turn and his time to make sure it all works out.
What I think was pretty encouraging in that department, Ross, was that they really had, it looked like, well, and this might be a product of them having started the season expecting Nathan Peterman to be their starting quarterback, and that lasted a half of the opener, and then that was over, and Allen was in. And then Allen missed a chunk of time in the middle of the season, and when he got back in, the offense was different. They had added some different pieces, and of course they continued that you know, more effectively in the offseason here. But Isaiah McKenzie was here. Foster really emerged in the second half of the season, and it was more sort of spread it out and take advantage of Allen being able to run if we've got four and five guys in patterns. And it seemed like he transformed the offense to suit Allen's skill set while he was injured, and I'm encouraged by that because – it shows an adaptability that I think you want to have as a coordinator.
I would agree. My concern really at this point is Allen's health. You know, I mean, he ran a lot last year, and he's an aggressive runner. He's a big kid. Some guys, you know, don't really realize the difference between NFL and college. He had a lot of success with it last year. I just don't want him to be running 5 to 10 times a game and to get another injury where he's out for an extended period or, God forbid, the season, you know, that would really stunt his growth. So one of the things I want to see improvement from Josh this year is not taking shots and hopefully not running as much. I still think, you know, 2 to 4 times a game is probably a good number, once in the run game, once or twice in the run game, once or twice scrambling, to keep the defense honest, but just to keep the volume down as much as possible.
With Ross Tucker, Mike Shope, and the Bulldog on WGR, you know, back to the Patriots, not so much your stint there, Ross, but I'm thinking about it a little bit too, because I like to ask our guests, you know, this summer and in recent summers, how many times over the years you were inclined to say, guests from the media, how many times over the years have you been inclined to even just want to go on shows like these or on your podcast and even just start to talk about whether the Patriot thing is about to end? I mean, you're there in 2005. They've won 3 Super Bowls by then. What are we used to? Quarterback will get, I don't know, into his early to mid-30s. And,
right.
That, you know, then he'll break down and just free agency tears teams apart. It's all been said, of course, and written. Like, it's just ridiculous that the thing is still going in 2019. How often have you been tempted to think it was on the verge of being over?
Well, a lot. And I've actually always looked at it from a different angle, which is I can remember railing on the radio and on my podcast when they took Ryan Mallett in the 3rd round. And then I really thought it was ridiculous when they took Jimmy Garoppolo in the second round. And I've just been like, this is unbelievable. You've got the best quarterback ever. He only has 2 years left. Why would you not get him some players, you know, to maximize the end of his career? I mean, I've been doing that for at least six. I mean, how long has Mallett been out? I've been doing it for at least six or 7 years. I've been criticizing Belichick for not doing everything he can to get Brady another Super Bowl win. It's unbelievable that he's still playing. I highly doubt we'll ever see anything else like it. I'm a fan of his personally. I like when he does well. I don't root for the Patriots per se. Of all the teams I played for, I by far have the greatest affinity for the Bills. I think everybody up there knows that. But still, being in New England, you can't help but like Brady. I mean, I know people hate on him, but I don't know anybody that actually knows him or met him that doesn't like him. He's just awesome, and so I want him to maximize his career. So I haven't been the one saying, you know, this is it. This, you know, he plays bad against the Chiefs like 5 years ago. It's over.
Right.
I haven't been that guy. I've been the guy saying he only has a year or two left. They need to really go all in. And then every time I say that, it seems like he still has 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 more years. Look, he's older than I am. I'm 40. If I stand at a bar, by the third beer, I need to sit down because my back really hurts. And this guy's still playing pro football.
I love this. Ryan Mallett, that was 2011, by the way, when they drafted.
I was thinking it was Manuel's draft, but it's 2 years before that. Wow.
Yeah, yeah, because you liked him.
Yeah, I did.
Right?
The year before he came out. By the time he came out, I was like, scared. But for a little while in college, I thought he was pretty high.
Well, what it does for me, like, it, to say the least, Ross, it totally slows me to a halt in wanting to predict that, you know, that they're about to, what?
Get passed
regress
by anybody?
Regress.
Yeah, right.
I mean, at all, right? Like, it's just, I mean, I sound right now probably like I feel, which is I just never know what to say about it because I hate to just be sort of the same as everybody else going, yeah, New England will be first and then, you know, but geez, I mean, I guess I've given up on even considering.
No, right? my recommendation to anybody I ever talk to is never bet against the Patriots. Never tell people they're going to lose. Never say it's over. I mean, you're going to be right every once in a while on them losing. You're going to be right eventually with it being over. But, man, you're going to be wrong a lot more. You just say they're going to win and just say that Brady's got five more years.
Yeah.
Yes, totally. Did you think that about the AFC Championship going to Kansas City? Like, did you like them that day?
I did. I mean, are you talking about who I thought would win?
Yeah, like, did you think, I'm staying, what you just said, basically, I'm staying here, this is, you know, you're going to, you, how much money have you made over the years betting against New England? I'm going with New England.
Well, if I got to be honest, I was on sideline, so all I wanted was anything other than overtime, and then it went to overtime, because I was freezing my you-know-what off, and I had to pee so bad. I was so angry when it went to overtime, I can't even tell you. I mean, it was like painful. My hands, my fingers still hurt from that game. But no, I think I picked the Patriots just because I did not have as much faith and Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes in a fourth quarter overtime game as I did in Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And that's what happened. I mean, that last drive, they're playing man-to-man on third down against Edelman and Gronk. It's like, who do you think he's going to throw to? What do you think is about to happen? Like, I honestly, I'm not a Patriots fan, but I like if you're a dumb team, you should lose. And the Chiefs were so dumb at the end of that game, lining up offsides, you know, man-to-man on Edelman on third down when everybody in the galaxy knew that. I mean, it's just stupid teams. I like when stupid teams lose. That's my philosophy.
So I love that. They can't do that thing where they hold towels around you when you're the sideline reporter if you got to go to the bathroom while you're on the field there. I've seen
no recourse.
They can't do that for the sideline guy. You can't. You're stuck.
You know what's funny? When I was with the Bills, I never did that. I just sat on the bench, got like three towels and just went in my pants. It was so much easier.
Wow.
So much less effort. Although Bledsoe was never really that happy about it when I was playing center and I did that.
I would imagine.
But the stickiness gave him at least a little bit of better grip on the ball.
Okay.
Good
Ross
Lord,
Tucker.
The color and flavor we are getting on this show today okay. from Ross Tucker on the Western Hotline.
Why did all these years have to go by before learning that?
Right. Hey, Ross, at the outset there, you know, we just talked about the Patriots. You mentioned the Bills and the Jets. Like, somebody's got to be second there. I guess we're all pretty comfortable with assuming the Dolphins will be fourth. How about the Jets? Like, Gase has made a lot of waves there. I'm wondering if that might be a disaster. Like, how do you feel about him and them, you know, moving forward here?
Well, I like Sam Darnold quite a bit. In fact, he was the quarterback I liked the most last year coming out. So that's a good place to start. They obviously invested a lot in Le'Veon Bell and C.J. Mosley. I'm not really a Gase fan. I do think that they've had a lot of issues and turnover. So I think it could go one of two ways. It could go really well, or it could blow up on them. I don't think that there will be a middle there. But their offensive line is just too much of a concern for me right now. I can't say when you're going to have a team that's one of the five worst offensive lines in the league. I'm not telling people you're going to the playoffs.
More from Ross Tucker when we return. This is Nate Geary. This is Sports Talk Saturday on WGR. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. More from Ross Tucker.
Are you more or less bullish on Cleveland than the average guy?
Less, just because I think it'll be a close game. I mean, a close race, and I'd rather have Roethlisberger and maybe even the Ravens. You know, if they're all going to be 8-8, 9-7, maybe 10-6 in that mix, I'll take the team that have been there, done that, over the team that, you know, has never been the hunted and they've always been the underdog. It's a totally different ball game.
Okay. How about jumping around just for a minute here, Ross, while we still have you. Green Bay with the coaching change there and Rodgers, that big article Tyler Dunn wrote about Green Bay, expose. Same question. Are you more or less optimistic than you think the consensus on the Packers?
I would say I'm about right where everybody else is. If anything, I'd say less just because – I'm never going to, you know, a first-time coach like that, I'm always going to say be a little bit skeptical of that, especially when it sounds like they're already having some issues in that regard.
Okay. How about paying Melvin Gordon, today's story? Really interesting. So many reasons to talk about this with running backs and their value. And here's Gordon, who is not – I mean, he's kind of high up the list as it is, cap number-wise and salary-wise, but end of his contract, what should happen?
Well, he should hold out and try to get more money now, and the Chargers shouldn't do a darn thing about it. I mean, honestly, like, if you're Gordon, you had microfracture, you see what's Gurley's going on, and Le'Veon Bell, you missed four games last year. He should do everything he can to try to get more money now. But if you're the Chargers, you just can't do it. You just got to fine him the max amount. You got to make sure, you got to say, look, we're not doing it because – I mean, they could do something, but it's not going to be the money he wants. So I wouldn't do it. Not him, not after the microfracture, not at that position.
Do you think
they're both doing the right thing, and we'll see who caves first.
Right. Do you think what happened last year with the Steelers, so James Conner goes in and does well, like if this got to a point where Gordon stayed out, which of course is, you know, what he'll threaten at this early stage, would the Chargers, do you think, be about as good as they would be with him?
Well, he's made $10 million so far. So I really don't think he wants to miss very many games, which because he's making over $5 million this year. And Austin Eckler is a pretty good backup. And I forget if they drafted somebody or not, but I would let him miss games. You know, I would let him miss games and go without him and expect him to be back by week two or three.
All right.
Do you think we're into thinking about Bell, who, you know, he cost himself a year's worth of money, but he still did get a pretty big contract once he got to free agency this year. Antonio Brown navigated really his way out of Pittsburgh differently than Bell did, but he ultimately got you know, what he wanted. He got paid and went to a different place. Do you think we're like, is Gordon maybe another test here? Like, if he, do you think he can navigate his way out of the Chargers to someone who wants to give him more money right now?
No, that's not happening. They're not getting rid of him because they know he'll eventually show up and they're trying to win the Super Bowl this year. So I highly doubt they would trade him. This ends with Gordon maybe missing a game or two, and maybe they work out a deal that gives him a little bit of guaranteed money next year, gives him a raise this year, and that's about it.
Yeah, I think so. And who's paying him anyway? Who would want to, you know, give him a bigger contract? With that's sort of against the grain right now. All right, Ross. Well, what a treat. Thanks, as always, for jumping on with us. It was really fun.
Absolutely. My pleasure, guys. Take care.
That was Ross Tucker, who is on Twitter at RossTuckerNFL. It can be found at RossTucker.com. Thanks to Matt Perino, John Scott, and Pat Melicaro, who joined the program this afternoon. Thanks to Ryan Gates for making some time on a Saturday to come in studio and just talk absolute nonsense. Thanks to Derek Kramer for sticking around and giving us great opportunities to laugh directly at him. So for me, Nate Geary, and the rest of the folks here at Sports Talk Saturday on WGR, until next week, you've been listening to Sports Talk Saturday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.